Well, she actually did all right for herself this time. Mm.
This is how you could describe her career now, but it started from really humble beginnings.
We were told by our instructors, you should all try, even if you don't want to be an actor.
A long, successful career that she says started in Philly, a place she still calls home.
My big break is New Freedom Theater and how they taught and built us up mentally.
The journey began at Freedom Theater, and now 40 years later, she gets emotional that Philly is still a big part of it.
By the time this airs, you will already have a street named after you.
I actually don't even know how to feel about it. I think I was as frightened to come here and talk about something like that.
Actress Erica Alexander on The Pulse.
Guys, welcome to another episode of The Pulse. Every week we're bringing in people who are doing amazing things, using their voice for good, making a difference, and some stand out more than others. So I get the chance to sit down with somebody who I can't say I've admired from afar, because I've actually met you before. You're Philadelphia.
Yes.
But it's just an honor to have you here. Actress, director, producer. Can I go all the way to activist?
Activist? Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Erica Alexander. Thanks for coming in.
That's the thing I'm most proud of, actually, being an activist.
Is it?
Yes. I think that all of those things that I've done that you mentioned were because people were activists and they created pathways that give me opportunities. So I think it's important to certainly, you know, put in my time.
It's an interesting place to kind of start because we had Vivica A. Fox on.
Oh, wonderful.
And at one point I was talking to her about there was this struggle of being labeled as a powerful black actress,
yes,
not just a powerful actress.
Yes.
And she actually stepped up and said, I don't care, that's who I am. I'm a black woman, I wear that as a badge of honor. I'm okay with people identifying me like that.
Right.
Sounds like you're in that same category.
I'm definitely in that same category, but I also fight against being
labeled
confined.
Sure.
You know, I'm sure we'll talk about this, but that's what American Fiction was about. Mm-hmm. It's not that you want to negate or, you know, not relate as a black person. That's who you are. That's part of your experience. But that's not all of who you are. That happens to be your skin tone, and that happens to be maybe part of how you see your culture, or, you know, your worldview. But it is important for people to see you as a human being. And that's what we fight against. That's what we're fighting for, is our humanity.
We're absolutely going to talk about American Fiction and the Maxine effect and all of the things you've done over your career. But the career started in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in Philadelphia all my life, so I know Freedom Theater.
Come on.
Go back to that. But tell people who may not know how you got that start.
Sure. Well, actually, I started off in Arizona.
Okay.
That's where I was born. And my parents were brought to Philadelphia because my father was a Church of God and Christ minister. Both of them were orphans. And the German Lutherans of Flagstaff, Arizona said that perhaps he'd have a better way to go in a structured, you know, way because he had six kids and he had a bad heart. And I spent the first 11 years of my life in a hotel called Starlight off of Route 66. Okay. So in a way, they were giving him an opportunity to become a pastor. And he became a Lutheran pastor. He went to the Lutheran Theological Seminary in Chestnut Hill. That's how we got here.
I lived down the street from there.
And very shortly after that, I went to Girls High, George Washington High School. Actually, first Leeds and Roosevelt, and then George Washington High School, and then eventually Girls High. And in between that summer, my mother put me in an arts program at New Freedom Theater.
Yeah.
I was 14 years old, and she had recognized that I had, she said, some interest in the arts, in acting. I don't remember that. I wanted to be a scientist. That's where I thought I was on my way. But mothers know best. They see you. Your parents often see you before you see yourself in things. So she enrolled me in the six-week course. And in the fifth week, a movie came to town. It was a Merchant Ivory film, and they were looking for brown and black girls to audition. And we were told by our instructors, my instructor was Johnny Hobbs Jr., and he said, you should all try. Even if you don't want to be an actor, you should have the experience. And I showed up at 5 o'clock in the morning, second in line, and that went on for days and days and days of auditioning people. They eventually gave me the script. It was the lead role. I kept auditioning, had four screen tests, and when the dust cleared, they chose me as the lead. That's how it happened.
And didn't even know at that point that that was something you wanted to do, just following mom's advice.
Just following mom's advice. They had amazing children there that had been going for years. I mean, you know, those instructors, Pat Hobbs, I got a shout out, and the Leslie sisters, Robert Leslie, Johnny Allen Jr., who were the founders. Mm-hmm. They had been there for years. Janice Roderick was a person who was, we were going at it, I don't want to say against each other, but we were both up for the role. And she was a fantastic actress, still is. And that just happened to be how it shook out.
Is that, I mean, and nobody, you've been doing this now for, you were a kid, so years. You're about to celebrate your
40 years. This year is 40 years.
Mid-career experience.
Mid-career, Bill.
40 years of mid-career experience.
Amazing.
So kind of going through that process, was that the big break? I mean, we know Maxine Shaw was Living Single, the big break, because it wasn't the first thing that you did. There were there were several steps. What introduced you to all of the rest of us?
I have to say, you know, so big break is a really hard thing to define. I think the big break is New Freedom Theater for me. Okay. Because they didn't, I mean, it wasn't just an opportunity for me to go for a 6-week program. I was actually in a play during that time while they were auditioning at the same time called Under Pressure. Under Pressure, I was playing Sharifa. Sharifa was a rape, an incest victim. And so it was a very dramatic role. And I think coming into that space and then the film and television space, which I have to say that was a film, My Little Girl, I had the emotional groundedness to take on my first role, Joan Jerez, who was a foster child. And so I think the big break doesn't come when people see you on the bigger shows. Mm-hmm. It comes when you show that you're reliable and that you show up. And they test you. They test you really hard for those roles because they want to make sure that you don't break emotionally, that you have the mental acuity, but that you have the memorization skills, all of those things. And so that was my big break. My big break is New Freedom Theater and how they taught and built us up mentally way before those opportunities came. And I carried on that training for my entire career.
So this was this, Erica Alexander, and the ongoing commitment to not just success, but significance and making a difference. I had a mentor coming up who said that success is great, but your struggle should be significance.
Hey, I call that impact versus popularity.
Okay.
You know, it's harder to make an impact. Sometimes it's easier to feel that you have some popularity, but if it's not memorable or it's disposable, then how does it really matter?
Was that always you? Because you're talking about at 14, you're taking on significant, impactful roles. Mm. Even as the success and what we know you from and the Maxine Shaw factor, it was still an impactful role. Was that intentional, even that young, or did you kind of grow into that?
I grew into it. You don't know maybe what's coalescing around you, but I knew what my parents and the people who taught me wanted. They wanted us to be good. They told us at Freedom Theater, Johnny Allen used to yell at us, you haven't earned the right not to be good. You haven't earned the right to be tired. You know, there were many people who had paid the price for us to even be in that theater having that conversation as free people. I mean, that's deep. Yeah. The idea to be in Philadelphia underneath the, you know, the banner of freedom and independence, and what that really meant was, how are you going to use yours for the greater good? And so I think that all of that is in there. And I think that the expectation of Girls High, you know, class 231, they were building women who were meant for leadership and careers in leadership and to do well in life because they had been chosen. That was supposed to be the best that the city had to offer in its public school system. And you were supposed to do the best job. And so I think if you look at many of the people who've gone there, you'll see that they've done tremendous things. But that's because people expected us. So even if we wanted to and say, oh, I had ambitions to do or this or that, people pour into you. And that's like a ticking clock. And each time you think you don't have what it takes, it sets off that seed has already grown. And it's unbelievable what you can accomplish. But you need the nurturing.
And that nurturing is something that you have continued on. It's important to your career and development. Yeah. People won't see this, but before we got started, one of our family members here, Shayna Ferreira, who everybody
Shout
knows,
Shayna
came in and just wanted to meet you because of that level of significance. And off camera, you guys spent a lot of time just talking, and you expressed to her that kind of thing matters to you. The impact that you've had and
carrying that on and passing that on that guides you, that matters to you?
It matters very much. Huh. Sorry, I don't know why I'm getting emotional with that.
Well, but we were. Important. Like, I was sitting there watching it because, and one of the things I tell people that I like about the show, I'm talking about it now, so it is, in fact, on TV. But one of the things that I tell people I like about this show is because you get an opportunity to see who people are when the camera's not on. And that was interesting. Like, all of us kind of sat around and went, whoa. Like,
this is a conversation with somebody, and it matters. People have had conversations with me that have lasted 5 to 10 minutes or more, and it has shaped my life and decisions thereafter. Cicely Tyson is one of those people. You know, we actually played the title role in Mama Flora's Family. Mm-hmm. And because we were the title role, we never were in two scenes together. I played young Flora. She was then the older Flora. And yet she's all in my brain telling me that I had the right to wear my hair the way I wanted. That I had the right to have personal space and to have a sense of myself and that I could tell people. And, you know, I've acted with the best of the best, Felicia Rashad, Gloria Foster, you know, Queen Latifah, Kim Coles, Kim Fields, T.C. Carson, of course, John Hinton. These are all really badass people. And so, you know, Yvette Lee Bowser, who wrote Living Single, mm-hmm. is amazing. She was the first Black woman to write a series that was on prime time. That set the stage for Shonda Rhimes and all those people to have those conversations. These are the people that I know that I admire and that I've seen how they've made choices, you know, and how they live their lives. And so I like to think that when Shayna came in, I wanted her to have an experience, but I also wanted to have experience of her. Yeah. She's also my fuel to move on. Because it's not easy out here, not necessarily getting a ton of awards. It's nice to be honored and have street signings, naming, and all that other stuff. Most of the time, you're doing things in isolation as an artist, and as a media person, and writer, and all those things. So you want to build yourself up in those moments, because that's what's going to take you forward.
A lot of us know, I told you I've been humming, you know, Living Single all morning, like, ever since.
We forgive
I'm humming
you.
The song. No, it's part of those
it's
things
been overwhelming.
It's stuck in your head.
It's too much, people. You know?
And we remember, and I think until you kind of process all of that, you remember powerful Black woman. You remember Maxine Shaw. But then I was doing a little bit of research, because every now and then I do that, before we sit down and have these conversations. I took a picture of statistics that I saw, and I'm sure you're aware of them, but saying them, I was like, whoa. So they kind of analyzed the Maxine Shaw effect.
Yes.
And what that actually meant to people, that role that you played in a comedy, you know, kind of playing that role. So 1 in 3 Black women lawyers said that Maxine Shaw directly influenced their choice to go to law school.
Yes.
1 in 3. 8 in 10 Black women professionals say that Maxine Shaw inspired them to be leaders in a male-dominated profession. 80% of the people that they surveyed. 90% of Black women professionals say Maxine Shaw inspired them to be confident and unafraid to speak their minds.
Come on.
Watching your character. 2 of 3 Black women professionals say Maxine Shaw showed them they could have a successful career and a fulfilling personal life. And 58% of Black women professionals say Maxine Shaw is a career role model for them. That was a comedy, a TV show.
Yeah.
Did you even think that you have continued to, but a role that you were playing, I mean, arguably as a kid, that was
30 years ago.
Yeah, years ago. Could have 23 years that ago. Kind of impact. And when you hear those statistics, what's that mean to you?
That representation matters. Mm-hmm. It matters very much that those young people who saw the Maxine Shaw character saw themselves in it. They saw a version of themselves. And they said, oh, that's a template. She's doing it. I want to do it. Let me do it. People like Stacey Abrams and Ayanna Pressley. Stacey Abrams, great lady from Georgia, has done tremendous things. Ayanna Pressley, the congresswoman from Boston, have come up to me and said, I went to law school because of that character. I wanted to succeed. Judges have run me down the street, educators, executives. They have told me years after year after year. And so we had anecdotal evidence, but we wanted to put it to the test. And so this research project that was commissioned by me and my partner, mm-hmm. Ben Arnon at Color Farm Media, and also Yvette Lee Bowser, who's the creator, and the Representation Project, Carolyn Heidelman was the Heldman was the research data scientist. And that's the proof. But it's not just proof. We wanted to also use that proof, and we created a curriculum. A curriculum, to build leaders of tomorrow. And so we launched my nonprofit, colorfarmimpact.org, and we got with the best in the business, Langston League, Erica Buddington. She creates and makes the best curriculum in America. And so the Maxine Shaw Effect is now the Maxine Shaw Effect Leadership Curriculum. That's amazing.
Is it a heavy burden to carry? And I ask that. You've been carrying it for a while. You've been an advocate, an activist. Lately, in this political era, you see much is made about kind of the celebrities that step out. Taylor Swift just offered an endorsement. And immediately following that came death threats and anger, and you're upsetting the apple cart. And that's politics. You've been doing it in an industry that is also traditionally kind of closed to that growth and development. It clearly is worth it to you, but is that a heavy burden to bear?
It's not as heavy as Harriet Tubman's burden, Frederick Douglass' burden, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X's burden. To those that much has been given, much will be asked. Right on, Taylor Swift. She has a platform in this world. She could either stand back and remain neutral, like Switzerland, or she can be in the world. She's a daughter of an American pop culture phenomenon that wasn't created by just her. It was created by many women and men who created a way for her to be standing in front of millions of people, singing her songs her way as an independent voice in the world, an independent woman voice, a female in this great thing that we call the American culture, which is a juggernaut. It's the biggest culture in the world, but it is also undergirded by African-American culture. Mm-hmm. With the biggest culture makers in world history. And that's a fact. What does she do now to say, I'm going to lay some of, you know, my tremendous popularity and, you know, and the type of influence I have to good use for other people and speak her truth? She's a woman of childbearing age. She sees what's going on. So I say, yes, I think it's a burden, but it ain't their burden.
Okay, and it's one that you continue on with. These, I hesitate to call things that are so impactful characters. We mentioned Maxine Shaw. You've continued to kind of play these roles and make statements. American Fiction is the latest. You smile, you light up when we start talking about that role.
I love American Fiction. I love Cord Jefferson. Everyone who watches the movie, I mean, we've discussed it all. Yeah. They love that film. I haven't seen anybody that hasn't loved it. The great Jeffrey Wright, number one. Anything he's in, I'm a fan of. Mm-hmm. I don't think that he's been able to use his comedy chops as well. And the fact that Cord Jefferson saw him immediately as the character of, you know, of this film about a man who was being boxed in and labeled and didn't want it, wanted to be seen as a person, as a full person, is exactly the type of person who Jeffrey is. Percival Everett wrote the original book. It was called Erasure. Cord Jefferson read it. Here he is, an accomplished writer in Hollywood, but also feeling boxed in. Mm-hmm. And he said, this man is speaking for me. I think I can adapt this and make something of it. And Percival said, sure, go for it. Next thing you know, a few years later, there we are on an awards tour, 5 Oscars. He won Best Adapted. And we're having that conversation with a lot of people, because a lot of people who may not have seen it that way went to go see that movie, and they have a different point of view about how we're all creating limiting borders for people. And so, yeah, I love that movie. I love everyone who's in it. Shout out to Tracy Ellis Ross and Issa Rae and Sterling K. Brown. I mean, from everyone in that film is, I think, perfectly cast, including me. Yes, I love it.
We would all agree.
Yes.
So you're loving that.
I love it.
I'm curious. When people see you coming.
Mm-hmm. When they see me coming.
Yeah, and they see
I'm
you
loud.
Coming. They know that you are
coming.
They continue. I feel like it is
and I don't know because I'm not in those rooms, but I feel like half of those rooms, or hopefully more than half of those rooms, are people like the folks behind American Fiction and Yvette Lee Bowser and people who making a statement, making a difference, using their voice for good matters. And I think there's probably some, and you tell me if this is the case, and they go, oh, here she comes. Now it's about to be a battle.
When they see me?
Yes.
Oh, that's because, hilarious.
Listen, little old me.
Oh, people love me.
I believe that.
But it wouldn't melt my mouth.
But you're also not the person who is going to cave to things that you don't think are right. Mm. I think. No.
Oh, you got so, me all wrong, bitch.
I don't know.
You, every day.
She's like, you don't know me.
Yeah.
But is that because that it's still an industry that needs to change? When those people see you coming, how do you address that? Or do you just say, there's enough of these people that I don't have to worry about those people?
Well, I mean, here's the good news. I think that I go where I'm invited. I rarely get invited into rooms where people don't want to see me coming.
Okay.
And I think if they're under a different expectation, immediately out of my mouth, I will tell you what I'm about. No shade to anyone else. I don't come in judgment. I come fully talking about the Eric Alexander effect. I'm a maverick. I think that, again, my background tells you a little bit about how I'm going to perform right now in this current situation. And I just want to stay true to what I know I can pull off authentically. Mm-hmm. And the authentic version of me thinks that if there's trouble, you got to get into good trouble. Like John Lewis, I'm the producer of Good Trouble.
Yep.
If you think that there's rights to be wrong and wrongs to be right, then give them reparations. I'm a producer of The Big Payback about reparations. You can just see me sort of acting and maybe having that dialogue in other places. And yet I'm a fun-loving chick. I like to have fun like everybody else. No one wants to go around and be a drag on a party. You know, I like a good cocktail, good Negroni, but I'm not going to be crazy about it. I have a responsibility to also know that I have an effect inside the room, and I think people's expectation is for me to be responsible and held accountable for my behavior. And so I've had good times in life, but I've always had that person in my ear, which is my mother, saying, yep, you know, have some couth.
Yes.
Don't make me ashamed.
Yes.
You know, have respect for yourself.
I grew up with that person in
come
my
on,
ear.
Come on, come on.
That person was my father, who worked in media his entire life. So I grew up.
Shout out to the great Cody.
Thank you.
Shout out.
Thank
and,
you.
Love for him.
He reminded you what you were saying, like to whom much is given, much is required.
Come on.
You got to use that voice for good. And sometimes you may have to walk away out of a great opportunity for you because it's not the right opportunity to represent who you want to be. And
you know how many people have not listened to that and the amount of trouble that has been wrought because we think that no one's looking. And that's one thing I want to teach over and over again is my mother is a great educator. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that she really believed is that each one teach one, that type of thing, that you have to pass it on. And I would like to teach etiquette. I'd like to teach how people perceive when you go in and you think, oh, I can just wild out. No, you're not. You don't own this place. This is not your home. That's a dressing room. You know, you might as well act like that's a studio. That's a studio, you know, property. Act like they're seeing you. Act like the people who look after you are talking to each other. And then that may not seem like it pays off, but somewhere they'll have a conversation and say, that's a fine young person. Give them the job. It's going to make the difference between you and someone else. Mm-hmm. That kind of kindness and thoughtfulness all usually does, and I think that sustained me in my career.
I love how many people I get a chance to meet who seem to be following that. Like, do you? We talked about Shayna, but do you feel like that people are embracing that, and you do get a chance to kind of speak your experience into them?
Yes, and luckily I have seemed to have tons of energy for it, whether they want it or not. I'm trying to give some advice, but don't you? Can't you not? I mean, with all you know, aren't you feel enthusiastic about trying to, you know, just have a conversation and you're excited when someone's interested in it? Yeah. I have those conversations.
I have a lot of those conversations. That's why I was so thrilled to sit down and have the opportunity to talk to you about it, because you're an inspiration. You know, and I say that without not being patronizing. It's just kind of like, that's somebody who is showing that you can. And we joke, my producer is sitting off camera, that I was launching this
wonderful
brand. do well by doing good.
Come on.
And that was one of the things we wanted to focus on. And sometimes we just laugh about the fact, like, I don't know. One's going to be hard.
But what things that are worth it aren't. Yeah. What things that will last? Many of the things that I've seen have been on YouTube. I've gone and looked up James Baldwin interviews where he had conversations like this, and I look at them over and over again. They're just not one-offs that you can have, and say something quick about maybe what you're doing in town or that type of thing, where you're actually getting philosophy and conversation, and they live on and on and on. I believe that type of archive is what the aliens are going to find out who we were. They will be looking at the Bill Anderson Show. They will absolutely know from these conversations with the people now who I will be dead and gone, but this will live.
Part of the reason why, and I could sit here and talk to you forever. Part of the reason why we were talking today, anyways, but actually by the time, because we only air once a week, but by the time this airs, you will already have a street named after you.
Yes!
In Philadelphia. Philly's own.
Philly's own.
You'll have a street named after you.
Yes, at Broad and Master in front of New Freedom Theater. They're going to name it Erica Alexander Way. And they may be celebrating me, but I want to honor the community that built me and all the instructors. And again, the great Freedom Theater. Yes, they are giving me a street in my honor.
It's got to feel good. I mean, you've made a lot of choices throughout your career to stand up and do the right thing. And people are saying, we see you, we appreciate you. Yeah. We're gonna put your name on the street.
Come on.
We're going to sit down and have a discussion, and we're going to reflect on halfway through your career, like 40 years in. That, if you give yourself a minute, that has to feel good.
It feels amazing. I actually don't even know how to feel about it. I was frightened to come here. Hear and talk about something like that. I mean, there's so many other deserving people that I know that won't have those opportunities. It passed them by for whatever reason. It wasn't the political will. It wasn't the way people were shaped or thinking about the world. And there are many things that go overlooked. And if Erica Alexander Way stands in the face of that as here's a marker for legacy, then I am trying to say with all my heart that that name and what's behind it means so much more than just my name. And so to the people in Arizona and Philadelphia and Girls High, New Freedom Theater, the people who hired me, the Royal Shakespeare Theater, Peter Brook, Joseph Papp, the Public Theater, the shows I've been on, the series I've been in, I just finished a series called Invasion. That I did 5 months on, Court Jefferson, the people who saw something in me and said, come over here, please do this work over here. The people who will never get that opportunity, who ran past, and I've campaigned talking about these issues, and people would press notes in my hand and say, don't forget about me, please don't forget about me. And I'm saying, I won't, I'm gonna take you with me. This is theirs, yeah. My life, and my work is about talking to that, but it's also my own. And so in appreciation and not just humbleness, I am absolutely gratified by this. And I'm feeling tall.
You should. It's a blessing that we get to decide how we feel about you. You don't have to sit there and tell people how to feel about you. You live and we get to decide. I used to talk radio. My father, again, when you'd get really upset, the criticism and the things that you're taking, and you want to lash out. You want to fight back. You recognize it's not the right thing to do, but you want to. You don't know me. That's not what I was about. And he used to say to me that if you live your life the right way, you don't have to defend yourself.
Ooh,
all the people that you did the right thing for will.
That's right.
So you sit back, continue to try to do things the right way, and we'll give you the street. We'll sit back and talk about your impact. And people will stop you off camera and just want a hug and thank you for being the person that they could follow in your footsteps. And I feel like that's what's happening, and good, because you get a chance to sit back and enjoy it, even if you're too humble to sit back and say, I deserve this. Guys, thanks so much for listening to The Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast. Today with actor and kind of a philanthropist and activist, Erica Alexander. Plus, she's one of us from Philly, so always a pleasure to talk to her. And I was having some of those living single childhood flashbacks. I enjoyed it. I hope you did as well. A reminder that you can listen to the entire podcast. All places podcasts are available. Just go ahead and download it. You can also download the Fox Local app so that you can get all of our Pulse episodes right there on demand. And hit me up always on social media at Bill A. Fox 29. Hope you enjoyed. I did. And I leave you today, as I always do, reminding you, whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a good one.